last week I talked about being like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so I shared with you last week about if we're going to be, if we're going to claim to be Christians, right, then we have to be like the one we claim to be like, right? And that's Jesus Christ. If Jesus lives in our heart, then He's guiding and directing us, and we need to be like Jesus. And so that's going to be the theme for the next several weeks. And as I was praying and studying, I ended up in the book of Mark. And I tell you, such a wonderful book. You know, it doesn't start out like Matthew and Luke does. It doesn't start out with a nativity story. It kind of starts right out with John the Baptist. And it's kind of a little bit different. But if we're going to be like Jesus, if we must first learn who Jesus was and is. And I say that was when He was walking on this earth and who He is now. It's not just past tense. Jesus is not dead, right?
No.
Yeah, Jesus is. He is alive. And so we don't think of Him in the past tense. We think of Him in the present right now. And so Jesus came to this earth to show us how we should live. He's like, now you go and do like I showed you. Remember when He told His disciples. And so for us to become like Jesus, we need to know who Jesus was. We need to learn who Jesus is, right? Amen. So in the book of Mark, if you have your Bibles, and you'll see here that to be like Jesus, here in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, we're going to start right from the beginning, and we're going to just follow through the book of Mark, and we're going to see who Jesus is, right? And so, if you look in verse 9, now this right, Mark starts out with John the Baptist. He says, that, you know, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. I love that, right? So, so we know the story of John the Baptist. He came before Jesus and he said, you know what? I am not the guy. There's one coming after me. Now, I'm kind of ad-libbing here a little bit. It's not the way it's written here, but it's basically what he's telling everybody. I'm not the guy. There's a guy coming after me, and I'm not worthy to fill his shoes. I'm not worthy to bend over and tie his sandals. I'm not worthy of this. So don't worship me because I'm not that guy. I'm just telling you, he's coming. And then all of a sudden we see appearing, here's Jesus. Jesus walks down into the water and John's like, I can't baptize you. It's not for me. You need to baptize me. And Jesus is like, no, this is what you need to do. This is what fulfills that promise that was given. And so we see that baptism is important, right? Because it's what Jesus did, right? So we know that. That was something that Jesus did, was He was baptized. And then it says here in verse 9, or verse 8, I want to go back just a little bit. I know she doesn't have verse 8 up there. He says, I baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, at the time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So we know that it's pleasing to be baptized, right? It's pleasing. And then verse 12, it says, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, or led him, okay, out into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended him. Now that's a vivid picture. That's something to, I mean, put that in your mind and think about what he went through. For 40 days he fasted and was in the wilderness. But yet the angels attended him. He says the wild animals were there with him. So I want to start with this right here. The first thing, if we're going to become like Jesus, if we're going to be like Him, we must be led by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We must be led by the Spirit. Because why? Because when Jesus comes, we're not under John's baptism, right? We're under the baptism of Jesus Christ. And being under the baptism of Jesus Christ means we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means we're going to be led by the Spirit. Okay, Jesus was obedient to the Spirit's leading. You think about that. He was obedient to the Spirit's leading. That's important. Because if Jesus was obedient to the Spirit's leading, guess what? We should be obedient to the Spirit's leading as well, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I think we got that one. So Jesus, they followed him. The disciples, when the disciples met Jesus, they followed him and they walked with him. And when he ascended, he said they would need the Holy Spirit because he would no longer be with them. And so then we read about the upper room experience, right? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit because he knew how important it was to be led by the Holy Spirit. We can't, he's like, without me being right here on earth with you, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to make it unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. That's the importance of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, we need the Spirit to have peace and strength and love. Amen? We need the Spirit to have hope. When we think about the end of our days, when we think about that, there is something that the Spirit gives, and that's hope. There's something that the Spirit gives, and that's peace in our life, and we don't have to worry about death any longer. We don't have to worry about the things of this world. Trey was kind of talking about that. We don't have to worry about the things of this world, because the things of this world may beat us up on the body. The flesh may get beat up, but inside our spirit, we have peace and we have hope and we have joy. We have all that. A peace beyond all understanding. Amen?
Amen.
You get what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 17. Romans chapter 8. Okay. Romans chapter 8, life through the Spirit. Right there. You know how come I know that? Because my Bible highlights it right here. Stuff's falling out. Life through the Spirit. Okay, that's important. So there again, if we're going to be like Jesus, there is life in the Spirit. Amen? Paul was saying, hey, church, you guys, you got to live by the Spirit, right? So Paul says, therefore, is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Now listen to me. If you're living in the Spirit, if you are living and walking and being led in the Spirit, guess what? Sin's not an issue in your life. Boy, you got quiet then, didn't it? Sin's not an issue in your life because you're being led by the Spirit of God. And in the Spirit of God, there is no sin. Jesus is sinless, right? That's hard to comprehend. If you want to walk in the flesh, sure, you're going to be a sinful person. You're going to. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do all that. But if you're keeping your eyes on Jesus and you're walking in the Spirit and you're being led in the Spirit, Jesus will not lead you into sinful things. That's what I'm saying. When we're being led by the Spirit will not lead you to do sinful things. Now, the other Spirit will. The other Spirit will. So we have to remain in the Spirit. It says, those who live according to the flesh, there, verse 5, have their mind set on what the flesh desires. You hear me? Without the Spirit, you're going to do fleshly things. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Remember, I talked about peace a few minutes ago. I got peace in my life, and I know I've mentioned that many times before. I have no concern at all about what my life, if it ends today, if it ends tomorrow, if it ends next week, I have no concern about that whatsoever. No fear in death. Amen?
Amen.
If it's my time, it's my time.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. I have concern for my family and my loved ones, especially those who are not saved, who are not living in the Spirit. I have concern and love for them. But when it comes for me, I just don't have that. I have peace in my life because I'm confident in my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have all confidence. I didn't always live that way. I didn't always have that peace in my life. That's what it feels like. That's what it is to be led by the Spirit. A life of peace. I mean, how many of us here love that idea that we can have a life of peace and love and joy, right? I mean, I think we all want more of that, all of that we can get, because let me tell you, in this world, it's hard to find it, isn't it? Because we're always looking for peace. We're always looking for joy. We're always seem to be searching for happiness. And Jesus really tells us that that's not going to happen here in this world. And if you're always looking for it, then you're always going to be looking for it. Right?
Right.
Because you're looking in the wrong direction and you're not focusing on what Christ... If you put your mind in Christ, if you set your minds upon the spiritual things of Christ, look, all that will come to you. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know how my life is. No, I really don't. We all have different things going on in our life, but I know what this world brings, and I do know what the joy that Christ brings in my life. And that's my testimony to you. That's the message that the Scripture wants us to share, is this message of Christ, of being led by the Spirit, of being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, and there's joy and there's peace in that. Amen? That's where real life happens. It says the mind governed by the flesh is hostile. Hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You know, I think there's a large number of people who call themselves sons and daughters of Christ. And yet they struggle all the time with sin, and they struggle, they have fear, they have no peace, they have no joy in their life, and they struggle all the time because they're controlled by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Man, I know so many people that you talk to and it's just like talking to a brick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just don't get it. And I shared that there was a statement that was made in a book that I'd read the majority of it. I kind of quit on chapter 25. You know, sometimes you read books and you're like, man, these are really good. And then you get to one chapter and you're like, wait a second, I don't kind of agree with this guy. So, I mean, I read on through. I skipped around on it. And it was a good book, but he made a comment about being fireproof or flammable. And he said he was preaching, and I mentioned this before, and I want to say it again, because he said he was preaching at a conference, you know, and there was the Holy Spirit was moving, and people were shouting, and they were just really praising God, and the Spirit was moving well, and people were praying around the altar. And he said, then there was this group, four or five or six people sitting there just looking around like, what in the world is going on? I've been there. I've been that group right there sitting around there thinking, what in the world is going on? until I experienced Jesus in my life.
Amen.
And then when I experienced Jesus in my life, I realized I knew what was going on. I didn't feel left out. I wasn't fireproof anymore. I wasn't wrapped in asbestos. And I think sometimes we have a lot of people sitting in churches that are wrapped in asbestos and they just don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit at all. It's just they go through the motions of coming to church. It's just a habit of things that they do. And we have to seek the Holy Spirit. And we're a holiness church. Did you know that? Praise God.
Amen.
We're a holiness church, and that means we're led by the Spirit. We're a church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. How's that? We believe that we can live a life above the world, above the flesh, because we're not living with a fleshly mind, a fleshly spirit, and guided by the spirit of flesh. We're guided by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. That's almost good preaching this morning.
It is.
Almost. Almost. Paul goes on to say there, he said, you, however. I love that. He taught, you know, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit lives in you, you can't help but show it to everybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. It's more than going through the motions, isn't it? It's being led by the Spirit's important, because that's who Jesus was. And then if we're going to become like Jesus, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to be led by the Spirit. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body, now listen to this, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Come on.
Amen.
Because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Amen. I love that. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Come on. We have an obligation. But it's not to the flesh. It's to live according, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Now I want you to look at what Mark writes in chapter 3 of Mark. I think Verna has this up here. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. He goes on to talk more about that. He says, if a house is divided, if your life is divided, you can't live in the Spirit of God and in the spirit of flesh at the same time. You can't straddle the fence. You know, you've heard that many times before. You can't live in the world and live in the Spirit at the same time. You can't do it because it'll destroy you. You can't stand. It won't work that way. And so many people try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They try to do that and their life is miserable. It's a roller coaster, and they deal with sinful things. They deal with all this stuff in their life, and it will lead you to death if you're going to live that life. Because a house can't be divided. And that came from a conversation that the Pharisees were talking about. They said, well, Jesus must be filled with Satan. He must be, his power must come from Satan. And Jesus said, no. How can Satan drive out Satan? Satan can't drive out Satan. Because a house that's divided cannot stand. If you're doing good things, let me tell you, if you're being led by the Spirit and you're being led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to do the things that God did. You're going to do the things that Jesus did. Where was I at? Wrong paper. Let's go back over here. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 and 24. See, if we're living by the Spirit, we'll have confidence and there'll be no fear. There'll be no fear in death. There'll be no fear in our life, and we'll do the things that Christ asked us to do. And Paul makes this statement. He says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." And let me tell you what happened here. The Holy Spirit tells Paul, he said, "Paul, I know you want to go to Jerusalem, but if you go, you're going to get bound, you're going to get beat, you're going to get put in prison. That's what's going to happen to you when you go." The Holy Spirit revealed that to Paul. And let me tell you, when you're living by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will reveal stuff to you. He's not a genie in a bottle. You can't just rub the bottle and he's going to poof and give you three wishes. That's not works like that. But have you ever had something, you ever been in a situation and all of a sudden you just get this feeling inside your gut? Yeah. It's like, you don't need to be here. No. I've had that happen before. Mm-hmm. Even as a young man, and I didn't understand it. I'll tell you a little story. I was in Peoria, Illinois. And they had a competition. Okay, it was a music competition. And I had went up to compete in this music competition where I played and sang. And I got second place. I lost. Anyway, after it was over, there was a guy who played a fiddle. He just done a good job. The crowd loved him. And I can't play fiddle. Anyway, but I lost, all right? I was kind of hurt over that. But then some guys that were, and Willie Nelson was there, and Rex Allen Jr. was there. I don't know, some of you may know who Rex Allen Jr. was, some of you older. I won't say older people because we're all getting there now. Yeah, seasoned, okay, seasoned. All right. Well, anyway, long story short, the Willie Nelson's band, they invited me to come back. They're like, "Hey, we like you. We like what you do. You know, we'd like you to come back and come on our bus. You know, we're having a party afterwards." So I'm thinking, okay, this sounds cool. Man, I mean, how many times do you get invited on Willie Nelson's bus for a party? You know? So I'm like, man, this is going to be great. I'm a young man. I mean, I'm 17 years old. I'm thinking, this is going to be the coolest thing. Mom and Dad wasn't around. I'm thinking, you know. I walk on the bus, you know, and I'm kind of there, and I'm around watching things going on, you know, and then I see guys drinking, you know, and carrying on, and of course there's ladies on the bus and not dressed too appropriately, you know, and all kinds of things. There's smoke in the air, and then there's this guy snorting cocaine, okay? And you know, of course, the smell of what we smell now in town, you know, instead of bunny bread. We know that smell well now, don't we? So anyway, something came over me like I've never had come over me before. I was almost sick to my stomach. And I just felt something inside of me say, "You don't belong here." And I walked off that bus. And that was the last time I ever put myself in that place. Because where the Spirit leads, you know, He will not put you in those places. He will lead you out of those places. And sometimes we get in some predicaments. I mean, it happens. It happens. I'm making you guys think this morning, I hope. I think 1 Corinthians, somewhere here. I want to leave you with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't know, Verna, did I give you this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, I did. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You want to know more about God? Just start reading your Bible. Praying. He'll reveal those deep things. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? I've told the teens many times, I said, you know when you do something wrong and nobody's around and you just get this feeling inside of you that you did something wrong? Holy Spirit's talking to you. Holy Spirit, you know, nobody has to tell you you've done something wrong. Usually you just know it inside. The Spirit knows your thoughts. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Man, this brings me to tears when I read this. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. You look at the world around us. Man, there's so many people in this world that think about what we do, about who we are, and they try to destroy who we are and the way we think because they see it as foolishness. The Scripture tells us to come out of the world. Be ye therefore separate from the world. Live according to the Spirit. Live according to God's ways, in other words. I want to go on. They consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Like I said before, how many times have you talked to somebody that just don't get it? And you think, how come you don't understand this? See, Jesus had the same trouble with His disciples. Remember, I said that last week. There were several times He said, one scripture there in Matthew, He said, are you guys just this dull? Are you guys so dull you just don't get this? Okay. It's like, I'm going to get the crayons out. We're going to draw some pictures. And I'm going to explain this to you. You know, I mean, and I know I've been that way. Don't you get it? But there's so many people in this world that just doesn't understand the reality of their eternity. They just live life every day to make themselves happy, to try to find happiness. They find it in so many, they look for it in so many places. And I could name off a hundred different things that people try to do to find joy in their life. And ultimately, they never find it. I've had so many hobbies. I'm telling you the truth. I've had so many hobbies. whether it was fishing or hunting or working on old cars and doing all that stuff. But, you know, it never brings true happiness. Every time I get done with it, it's like, okay, I got to find something else, you know, and find something else. And none of those things are bad. I can say there's a lot of other things that are, you know, but people look for it in drugs and alcohol. You know, they get to that place and they're looking for happiness. They're looking for something that they never can find until they find Jesus.
Amen.
And when you find Jesus, it's not foolishness. When you find Jesus, it brings understanding. And when you find Jesus, it brings peace and joy and love in your life.
Amen.
The person with the Spirit, verse 15, makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Being led by the Spirit, he's saying you have the mind of Christ when you're led by the Spirit. Because you're being led by Jesus. And let me tell you, it's important. And if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, all you have to do is pray and ask. If you've not been saved, I mean, there's just more to it. When you get saved and you get baptized, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's so much more to come to understand. And, you know, I say this about Paul all the time. When Paul was even at the end of his life, he said, "Not that I've attained it, my friends. I haven't got it all, but one of these days I'll get it. When I'm face to face with Jesus, I'll understand it all then. But I just keep moving on. I keep pressing on. I keep moving forward because I know that, if I die, you know, he says that in another scripture, if I die, I die for Christ. If I live, I live for Christ. If I die, it's a gain. I gain eternity in heaven with Jesus. So why should I concern myself?" Paul went through more than just about anybody, one human being could ever go through. And not give up. You know, I think about being a pastor and how hard it is sometimes and the things that we go through. And I know a lot of my brothers and sisters, there's so many giving it up every day. Not just every week, not just every month, but there's pastors quitting the ministry every day. Because they get beat up and they get knocked down. And I think, you got to put everything on Jesus. Everything has to be on Jesus because this world will beat you up. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great group of people that you've put me around that I call my family and friends. Lord, we just humble ourselves to you today, Lord, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit fill us full, that your Holy Spirit abound in us. Abundance, Lord, that's what you say. I'll give you life and I'll give you more abundant. I'll give you everything that you need, overflowing, cup running over. Lord, that's what we want. We want that life. So Lord, help us. We follow you, Lord, as you lead us. And you don't lead us into temptation. You lead us beside the still waters. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, let us not leave here without being filled today, without not having all confidence that we are living for you. Lord, let us leave here better than we came, filled with the Holy Spirit, with joy and peace in our heart, no matter what happens. I just thank you again for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.